Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Pat Doney, NBC5, is in for RJ Chappie. Thank you for turning it on, leaving it on. Autoflex Leasing Fan Text for your review of Saturday's loss to the Bengals. 877-881-1053. Let's start right there with Cheeto, Pat.
I've covered the Cowboys. This is my sixth season covering the Cowboys. And Dave Hellman of DallasCowboys.com tweeted exactly what I was thinking when I watched that interception. That is the best play made by a defensive back on the Dallas Cowboys in my time covering the team. It's a preseason game. I get it. Okay. It doesn't count. But I've not seen a defensive back make a play like Cheeto's interception on that play. The Cowboys have been telling everybody who will listen that they love this guy. I mean, you could see it in the day-to-day in practice. We were worried about the Cowboys receivers, right, watching these guys because the defensive backs look so good. Chris Richard, the new DBs coach that brought that Legion of Boom mentality from the Seattle Seahawks, you could see the fire, the energy there watching him every single day. But when you see Cheeto make a play like that, it's just like, okay,
yes,
now I see it. Now I understand this guy has a chance to become a star as a defensive back. He's very impressive, and that's a play showing you his ability and the level that he really can play at going down the road here.
It was amazing. You know, I judge preseason games by, you know, for individual ability. And doesn't matter that it wasn't regular season. The guy has that type of special athletic ability in him. I mean, it's got to translate when the games actually count. But that was awesome. Star up to Cheeto Awuzie. By the way, this defense is generating turnovers. Now you got to put the asterisk because it is the preseason. But they forced two on Saturday after getting three against the 49ers. And one of those turnovers from Mike Bassick's favorite player, 97.
Dalton with play action goes slant over the middle. Ball is caught and fumbled. Cowboys are going to pick it up at the 49-yard line. Now they dropped it. And a big scrum at the 50-yard line. Tyler Boyd coughed it up. Byron Jones got on the ball.
In your email last night, one of the things that jumped out to me at the very top, you said Taco with a heck of a game, and he did. Taco Charlton showing up.
Taco Charlton's a guy who Will McClay, when I spoke with him a little bit at Cowboys training camp, he's one of the guys who brought up. And he's jumping off the screen in comparison to a year ago. And I think a lot of it has to do with going against the Cowboys offensive line every single day. These guys are matched up one-on-one a lot when they're in pads with the same matchup every single day. And the guy that Taco's going against is Lyle Collins every single day in practice. And last year, that was pretty one-sided. I mean, Collins dominated Taco consistently. This year, Taco's gotten him a couple of times. You know, in Oxnard, it was pretty even.
Is that the spin? Was that
the spin move? Definitely is there. There's no question. And so Taco with the hustle, what I loved about that play is that's a hustle play, okay? You can't see it right now, you hear it. That was a completion over the middle, and Taco, your defensive end, chasing a wide receiver down from behind and knocking the ball loose. He also had a sack in the game. I think we're getting ready to see Taco have a little bit. Look, is he going to be a great pass rusher? I don't know. That's still TBD. But right now, I'm going to tell you, I think that this guy has a chance to make an impact this year, and he really didn't do that last year as a rookie. Cowboys players will tell you, guy like Tank Lawrence will tell you, it's hard for a rookie to jump and emerge as a pass rusher in the NFL. You shouldn't judge the guy based on your rookie year. Cowboys fans were still worried. They were concerned about what they saw a year ago. I'm telling you, from what I've seen, I think we're getting ready to watch this guy actually make a difference this season.
Three tackles, one for loss, one forced fumble, one quarterback hit, and a sack for Taco Charlton.
In limited action, too.
Yes. So everyone is excited to see that. Star up, star down, 877-881-1053. Roy, what's something that jumped out to you?
I mean, obviously, it just jumps out because of his lateral movement. Everybody's paying attention to it. But what Jalen Smith did, leading the team in tackles or tied for the lead in tackles, five tackles, three solo tackles, had a nice breakup on a third down where, you know, he stretched the byline on the very first play of the game. In fact, I think it was Joe Mixon who tried to stretch it out for the Bengals, and Jalen Smith met him right at the edge on the other side, made some nice plays in coverage as well. So for me, I thought Jalen Smith stood out in that, look, he looks every bit the guy that we thought he was.
Have you guys seen the Twitter post, the video of Jalen going against Dalton Schultz one-on-one, the pass rush in Oxnard from last week?
Recap it for
Schultz
those.
It's just not a good look for Dalton. Okay, he's a rookie. That's fine. All right. But Jalen puts a spin on a pass rushing drill when they're going one-on-one that had a lot of Cowboys people saying, oh. I mean, that
many people calling that the highlight of training camp.
No question about it. And this guy was flying around in Oxnard. This was the year. Now, remember this now. Okay, when they drafted this guy, they thought he'd miss year one. They thought year two he'd get some experience. And year three was the year that his knee was really going to get as good as it's going to get potentially. That's what I heard back when they, you know, when he was going to miss the first season, that year three was the year they had circled. What I'm seeing, man, at training camp and in practice so far, I'm believing. I think this guy's going to be good.
I've bought all the Jalen. I probably have the most Jalen stock in the building. Was I suckered by the personality and the good person and the
story?
You
have a clear-eyed view?
I have a clear-eyed view, that's right. I know Jeff Skinwade, he rolls his eyes at all that stuff, and I'm kind of more of a sucker for it. And the Cowboys look like they were right medically. They just do. Now, Bassick and RJ will tell you, hey, if you're going to miss one full year from a guy, it cannot be a successful draft pick. And I've changed my mind on that. This is just for argument's sake. If you drafted Ray Lewis and Ray Lewis missed the first year of his deal and then he turns out to be Ray Lewis, it's a successful hit. It's a successful pick. This guy was a top five pick in the draft before getting hurt. And I almost have no worry. I'm looking for the hitch. I'm looking for, you know, him having to get going and kickstart it a little bit. But he was flying around there, and he was there. And the other thing, Pat, that you can speak to because you were out in training camp longer than us, it is crystal clear to me that he's a top three leader on the defense.
Yeah, he's definitely.
Sean, would you put Tank up there? I know sure. Sean, and then I know Jalen. Whoever else you want to throw, go ahead.
I mean, Tyrone Crawford is a leader too, no doubt about it. Yes. But, yeah, look, Jalen is – when Sean was not practicing fully, remember, you know, early in camp, Sean Lee was...
You mean all of training camp?
Yeah, well, he is now, you know, but at the time, they were being super cautious with him early on. Jalen's the guy calling the defense. I mean, he's the guy who's on the field that they're looking to make the calls. And so, yeah, I'm with you, man. If he misses the first year, okay, and turns out to be a guy who's an above average to very good player for 12 years, 10 years, 13, whatever it is for this Dallas Cowboys organization, I don't think there's any way you can look back and say missing the first year wasn't worth it in that way, especially if you're getting a talent. If he does become the guy that he was at Notre Dame again, I mean, he might have been the number one pick. And remember, that was a pretty good draft. That's with Ezekiel Elliott, with Jalen Ramsey. I mean, that draft was loaded, and he might have gone number one overall.
Another star up, and all of us in the room in agreement, the Zeke replacement on Saturday night here on The Fan.
Now it is second down, and Prescott back to throw a screen right at the 35, breaking a tackle. Smith with a first down across the 20. Jesse Bates in at safety, made the stop, 19 on the screen to Rod Smith.
I tweeted this out during the game, Roy, and I know you're in agreement. I feel better about the backup running back spot. I was up in the air about it just because, you know, Rod had a nice second half last year, but not really an established player. He was balling out the other night.
Poor Rod Smith is probably a better running back than any other running back in the division outside of Zeke and Saquon Barkley. And he's not even the best football player in his family because of Jalen Smith. Poor guy.
Why do you hate Jay Ajayi, Roy?
I don't hate Jay Ajayi, but I appreciate you bringing up his name. I still think I might take Rod. You might have to consider something for the Cowboys. I would say this. As we get closer to September 1st and the cutdown date where every team is going to lose 37 players or whatever it is, when everybody's got to be down to 53, I still think the culture, the situation in the NFL is going to be ripe for trade opportunities. And I think the Cowboys maybe should consider if they have you know, a viable piece in Rod Smith that they could use to get something else in here. Now, if they don't wind up trading him anywhere or send him anywhere, I'm totally okay with that. I'd love to have Rod Smith as a backup. I think he's a tremendous back in terms of what he's done. But, you know, I'm looking closer towards September 1st. I'm thinking a lot of trades are going to be out there as possibilities. And I'm just thinking you got to trade from a position of strength to a position of weakness. Running back might be one of this team's positions of strength.
Let me pump the brakes on you a little bit. Number one, the running back market in the league is not going to bring back any value for Rod Smith. You can go find a Rod Smith easy. Number two,
right now though,
you can what pick, what round pick do you think Rod Smith?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily a pick. I'm thinking more of like a package deal.
Okay, well, value
of something involving him.
And then the other thing is, who's the backup if Rod Smith isn't here?
Good question.
Scarborough and Darius Jackson, who I do look, but no, I don't think they're trading Rod though. He's a guy who, I like guys who have overcome something to get to this point, right? Because they're kind of, you're not going to have to deal with as much of the like entitlement, you know, type deal. I mean, and this is a guy, if you don't know his backstory, was at Ohio State, big time recruit. Okay, one of the greatest running backs in Indiana high school football history. Goes to Ohio State, is supposed to be the guy, and then there's some like politics and some issues with the coach and a little bit of attitude, and then this dude named Ezekiel Elliott shows up. And so he doesn't barely play at all. And then he goes undrafted, and after a practice squad stint here, there, whatever, he ends up on the Seahawks, and they try to make him a fullback up in Seattle, which I still don't understand to this point, watching him play and seeing him in person.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys bring him on, practice squad type thing, and he gets a shot last year. And you guys are right, man. I mean, Roy, you're right. He showed flashes in his opportunity last year. He's a good pass-catching running back. He's a guy who I would not want him to be the feature guy on a team. I don't think you're going to be a great team if he's the feature guy, but I'm super comfortable with him being the Cowboys' number two guy, giving Zeke a blow here and there and giving him an opportunity to make some plays, you know, maybe five touches, six touches a game.
I think what I love about the game plan is just that 13 carries and a catch, if that's how they use Zeke, I think we all feel really good about that.
13 carries, 49 yards, one catch for 19. All right, let's go to the other side with a star down, and this is all over the Autoflex Leasing Fantex, and we were just talking about in the commercial – little Connor Williams worry. The one word that continues to be associated with Connor is strength, and not in a good way. That very first pass, we saw Geno Atkins, as you put it, Pat, put him on skates. Where are we with the rookie?
I think it's way too early to be concern is a bit strong. Okay, Connor Williams is clearly going to be the fifth best offensive lineman in a starting five that is
Hall of Fame.
Probably the best in the NFL. You know, four dudes who are all essentially first-round picks. Lyle Collins would have been had it not been for that strange situation in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
And so, and Connor was considered to be a first-round pick by most people before the draft. So yes, you could make the case that you have five first-round picks on the offensive line for Dallas.
They chose Connor Williams over Earl Thomas, what I was told.
There you go.
That, you know, if Connor Williams was not on the board, they're pulling the trigger for Earl. So that's how highly they thought of him.
I like the idea that Connor has a chance to be the worst of the five and can learn from the other four. I will point out, he didn't have Travis Frederick next to him helping him out, okay, and making sure everything's all lined up, the veteran guy, because Frederick didn't play and Martin was out of the game fairly early. The other thing that I'll point out is Geno Atkins is a beast,
yeah.
Okay? He's not going to face a lot of dudes that are more difficult to block than Geno Atkins. And, yeah, that play that Geno had him going backwards was something. It was not a great look, but it's still too early. I think this guy is going to be a good player in the league, and I think that he has a chance to learn quite a bit from the other four guys. It's just going to be a learning process.
All right, we have to talk about one of the most polarizing guys on the team. It's crazy how he blows up social media. Where do you stand, fans, with Rico?
Mike White rolling to his right. Cox looks, throws down to the right side. Oh, what a grab. That should have been intercepted. That was Rico Gathers for the Rico fans. Over the top. You cannot cover a rebounder that way. Rico
No.
Gathers reached over the top of the defender on a ball that should have been intercepted. Took it away. He literally won the rebound battle with Chris Worley and ran for 25.
Two catches, 32 yards, a long of 25 for Rico Patdoni.
There was one catch, and there was one snatch. I mean, that was an unbelievable play, reaching over the top and bringing it down. And yet, I'll tell you today, I'm going to be very surprised if Rico Gathers makes this Cowboys team. You know, I mean, just you just listen to Jerry Jones, you know, after the game, and he's pointing out that, yeah, you get the highlight play, but you worry that he's not going to block the right guy, I think was the line that Jerry said.
Yes.
And to be at this
point. He blocks well when he's blocking the right man.
Oh,
that says everything. And then finally, Pat, he's got enough there, but the angst comes when you're sitting there looking at the guy that's not on the roster because you kept Rico on the roster.
So last spring.
He gone.
Last spring, I hung out with Rico at his house all afternoon one day.
Oh, all right. Don't give too much of that away.
That I'm excited to tell that story.
All right, we'll do that at 8 o'clock, because Rico fascinates the fan base. It's crazy, but I'm with you. I don't think he's going to be here, even though these tight ends have not impressed at all. We have some legit concern there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.